Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news.
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left the bar one evening fair. And one could tell by how he walked that he drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet. And he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring-ding-diddle-diddle-i-dee-o, ring-da-diddle-i-o. He stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time, two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, "See yon sleeping Scotsman, so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. Ring ding diddle diddle i-dee-o, ring da diddle i-o. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt." They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be, lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see, and there, behold, for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring-ding-diddle-diddle-i-dee-o, ring-da-diddle-i-o, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, "We must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along." As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Ring-ding-diddle-diddle-i-dee-o, ring-da-diddle-i-o. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards the trees. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees. And in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, "Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize." Ring ding diddle little laddie, oh, ring da diddle aye, oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize.
The lights and the viper.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere. In a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And you need to understand that this is Monday, the 8th of April, and welcome to the shooting bench. A lot of good stories tonight. We're going to have to hustle right along here and get them all done. So let's see. First, let me bounce over here to the chat room and make sure that we have sound. So, stop. Oh man, why did I have to do that? Okay, let's try this differently. Let's go here. What if I had a brain, I'd take it out and play with it. All right, here we go. Now, okay, so you heard Amy's show. That sounds good. That's encouraging. So, and we're waiting for a show of hands here to see if we've got sound. Looks like everything's bouncing in the right direction here, so I think it's okay. All right, let's, okay. Although, we still don't have anybody that has confirmed that. So I guess we're just going to go ahead and go. It's recording, whether we're getting sound and out in the chat room or not, I don't know. But we'll just keep on keeping on. Okay, that's a lot of stuff happened over the weekend, over the last few days since I was on last. And I'm sorry I didn't have a pre-record for you Friday. That's going to be very difficult for me to do. But we'll do what we can. Let me find the right cotton. There we go. All right. Let's start off here with this story about a disabled Marine. This is amazing to me. You know, I hear stuff every day, and there's two or three things we're going to talk about tonight that just absolutely floors me. Everything from wolves and grizzly bears to, identifying as a different gender. Tons of stuff. It's killing me. You know, I had a friend over in, actually he's a childhood friend. I knew him when I was in New Mexico many years ago, and I just found out that he's running a ranch about 80 miles or so east of here. And visited with him and his wife here a few months ago, and saw him on Facebook where they have had 5 confirmed wolf kills and 2 suspected wolf kills just this week, or in the last week, I should say. And this is astounding to me that this continues going. And I think that it's, something needs to happen with this wolf program. I've heard that they're going to be delisted here, but I don't know when. And I don't know, I'm sure there's still going to be restrictions on them, even though they're delisted from the endangered species or whatever it was. I'm sure there will still be hunting restrictions on them. But nevertheless, these animals need to be killed, every single one of them that's out in the wild. They were killed off many years ago for a reason. And there's no such thing as a reintroduction of wolves around here, at least not the type of wolf that they're reintroducing. Those wolves never existed here. So there was the smaller Mexican wolves and stuff. There were some of those around here, but those were all killed out years ago, and we've lived very comfortably without them. And the ranchers have done pretty well until they started reintroducing grizzly bears and stuff. And grizzlies are not as bad on the cattle as wolves are. But they still get one every once in a while. Huh? But this story, let's get back to the disabled Marine here. This guy, wrong story. Here we go. Here is a disabled Marine that was arrested, as in handcuffed and hauled off to jail, for using a handicapped parking spot. Now, he sued the government and won, that's fine. But what gets me is, why did this happen to start with? He received $250,000. Now, the bad thing about this is that's taxpayers' money. That didn't come out of, he shouldn't have sued the government. He should have sued the idiot that gave him the ticket and the judge that upheld it. But he got this $250,000 settlement after a national park ranger used excessive force to arrest him over the use of a handicapped parking space. They said that he sustained major injuries to his right leg and arm during the war, and did not want the arrest on his record and was determined to clear his name, so he set out to do that. His trouble started, this was several years ago, that, I mean, it's just, this is a new story, you know, as of 3 days ago, but, or 5 days ago. December 22nd of 2012, him and his family were traveling in the Sequoia National Park, and as they entered the gate, the park employee, which they didn't name in the court paperwork, asked him to wait at the entrance until the traffic thinned down. So he parked in a nearby handicap spot so he could use the restroom while the line of traffic went down. He placed his handicap placard in the rearview mirror, on the rearview mirror, and began walking from his vehicle and the park employee at the restroom at the entrance. At the entrance booth, yelled at him, "You can't park there." When he said he was disabled, the park employee said, "I can see that you're not." The park employee called a park ranger, who arrived a little while later and started questioning the guy. Records show that the park employee later admitted to trying to stop the man because she wanted to save the parking spot for a co-worker who was coming in to replace her at the end of her shift. Can you even believe that? This woman ought to be not only fired, I think she should be jailed. You know, whatever, for whatever time, 90 days, 6 months, whatever. The ranger demanded that the Marine show him a handicapped driver's license. He told the ranger he did not have or need one to drive his vehicle because he did not have any adaptive equipment. He offered to show the ranger the paperwork for the handicap placard, but the ranger was unwilling to listen, the lawsuit said. The ranger forcibly arrested Esquivel for failing to follow a lawful order. Charges were dropped in 2014, and he just got his settlement here recently. That astounds me. It absolutely amazes me that something like that could happen. All right, let's, you know what I need to do? I need to run right over here and hit this button right here. There it is. And then I move this back up to the front, just like that, and we'll get back in business here. So here's another one of those stories. That's hard enough to believe right there. Okay. And thank you guys. I just looked at the chat room here. Everybody's saying 5x5, so that's good. I'm glad you got sound because I didn't stop. So there it is. Yeah, Granny's in there. Well, Granny Red, good to see you again. I've seen you here several times lately. Who all is in there? Tebow and Copper's with us. And Tinker and Doc, Minnie, NM Glock, Yakima Glock, Tebow. One anonymous there. Okay. All right, let's move on. Here's another story I can't believe. This happened in Canada, but Canada's not that far from here. And this stuff spreads pretty rapidly. This guy was fined $55,000. You'll never guess what for. $55,000 for calling a male a male. He was fined $55,000 for expressing Christian views on transgenderism. In other words, he called a biological male who identifies as a female a biological male, and that was his crime. So it says in Canada, well, he says he was fined $55,000 for the hateful act of misgendering an adult male. His offense apparently is still perfectly legal in the United States, but for how long? It says that there's somewhere here, I read the story earlier. Anyway, it said something about the Supreme Court of Canada has always said that freedom of expression is the lifeblood of democracy. But when it crosses the lines of this transgender activism, I guess that's where freedom stops, is when you offend someone that has no idea which bathroom to go to or how to use it when they get there. So there you have it. In reality, some of these laws are already on the books in America, with New York City calling for fines of up to $250,000 for misgendering someone in the workplace. This was put in place in 2015, and in 2016, a transgender school teacher in Oregon won a $60,000 settlement from a school district after co-workers allegedly failed to address the teacher by the proper, we talked about that on the show, by the proper gender pronouns. So there you go. Crazy. Absolutely nuts. I do not understand. Well, here's some better news. Glock is back in the news here for a couple of different things. One of them, they've armed a couple of more police law enforcement agencies. One of them is in Hong Kong. And this is, or Singapore, I'm sorry. And as some of you might know, I know Doc knows this, that Hong Kong and Singapore have used Smith & Wesson Model 10s, 38 Specials, for many, 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 many years. Long, long time. And they've never budged off of that. Matter of fact, you still, you can find used Smith & Wesson 38s with Hong Kong police stamps on them that have, you know, they've been traded in and got new ones, but they got the same gun over again. But now they're getting 6,000 fifth generation Glock 19s. So obviously they're going to have some pretty good bit of training to go along with them running these revolvers all these years. And these guys don't have the opportunity as police officers to go out and just say, well, we're going to run out to the range and shoot 1911s or Glocks or Berettas or whatever. They're pretty limited on what they can do. So it's going to be quite a learning curve for them there, but I think they made a good choice. Hancock County, Maine, same thing. They've chosen the new Glock G45, which is a kind of like the Glock 19, but it's also kind of like the Glock 17. It's basically a Glock 19, a Glock 17 with a Glock 19 slide barrel, more or less. It's a full-size frame, compact slide. So it's a good way to have full-size grip, full-size ammo capacity, but the concealability of the speed of the shorter barrel. So not a bad trade-off there. Doesn't say how many they're getting, but let's see. Hancock County Sheriff's Department patrols Ellsworth, Maine, Acadia National Park. They've traded off their Sig Sauer handguns and gotten a Glock 45. G45, not a Glock 45. Let's see here. There was another Glock story. And this one, let me find it here. This one was a little bit awesome. Good. Doc, I know you don't care one way or the other as far as who is the Glock spokesperson, but the new Glock spokesperson is, drum roll please, Chuck Norris. Yep, Chuck Norris has taken Lee Ermey's place as the new Glock spokesman. So, you know, there's not a single movie that I'm aware of, or TV show, or anything else, where Chuck Norris used a Glock. But all of a sudden, he is suited as a Glock spokesman. Of course, I don't suppose Lee ever used one either, as far as, you know, in the movies and whatnot either. So I guess it doesn't make any difference. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. If I can find that story here real quick. There was a, you know, they need to do some
what do you call it, proofreading here. As it starts out, the title of the story to begin with says, the Glock announces legendary spokesperson Chuck Norris. Well, Chuck Norris is not a legendary spokesperson. He's a legendary actor. He's a legendary martial artist. He's a legendary this, that, and the other. But it should have said, announces their new spokesperson, legendary Chuck Norris. Or spokesman, yeah, spokesman, not spokesperson. Anyway, there's... it says Chuck Norris revolutionized and ushered martial arts into the American mainstream, just like Glock revolutionized firearms. But I wouldn't take anything away from Chuck Norris. He's a great actor. He's a great martial artist. But I think they're twisting things around a little bit here to suit themselves, because if you want to look at people who have revolutionized and ushered martial arts into the American mainstream, that would probably start with Bruce Lee, if not with Ed Parker. Maybe when Chuck Norris was a pup. So, anyway. But whatever, I'm glad it happened. Doesn't make any difference what's wrong with the printing here. I think it's a good deal. Doc, explain. I don't understand how the holster is as important as the pistol with the Glock any more than any other handgun. So tell me what your thinking is on that. Hey, Amy. Doc said he's decided to identify as royalty, so you can call him your majesty. Yeah, well, Amy's on top of it there. She said she'll remember this. She'll put it in her notes. The Yakima Glock, that's funny. Chuck Norris doesn't carry a Glock. A Glock carries Chuck Norris. Okay, let's see. Where am I at? Is break time yet? Nope. All right. Let me move over here and get this opened up and look at... Oh, man, there it is. Let's see here. Oh, there was a bunch of here in the Philippines, there was a bunch of old rusty M14s and 30 carbines and a few other things found that was, I guess people were still using them. They said about a coffee can full of ammo, and they found M14s and M16s. I guess it's not a 30 carbine there. One of the M16s had a grenade launcher on it. Looks like there's one grenade there in a canteen and about maybe 80 rounds of ammo or something like this. But this was recovered by Philippine Marines. Took them from some local insurgents these guns were not quite new in the box. But this was in what are they called? Sulu Archipelago? Archipelago, how do you say that? Archipelagos? I forgot. Anyway. Moved in over the weekend to rescue a group of hostages held by Islamic terrorists. The action, which included a 10-minute firefight, ultimately led to the freedom of two Indonesians and one Malaysian hostage after the neutralization of three of the terrorists. Now, the pair of M14s, two M16s, one fitted with a 203 grenade launcher, coffee can full of ammo. One of the M14s had a stock replaced with a side folding plastic one. No doubt was fun to shoot. But, all right. Okay, let's move on. It's still not break time. Wow, I'm going too fast here. I thought I had way too much stuff, and I've been going through it too fast, and here we are. But that's okay. I do still have plenty of stuff to talk about. Here's something that's Oh, this is good right here. I had to check this out because there was another story that came out about something real similar to this a few years ago. And everybody thought it was such a big deal. Oh, wow, good for him. Yeah, karma's a bee and everything else. Well, this one really is true. It is on a number of mainstream news outlets. This was, it's really pretty funny. It was a poacher. Now, there was a rhino poacher. And these rhino horns are worth a lot of money. They still, it's hard to get rid of them in most places in the world. But in Asia, you can still sell them. And they had one shipment here that was worth $2 million. Anyway, rhino poacher was killed by an elephant, trampled him to death, and then he was eaten by lions. So he just had a really freaking bad day right there, and just didn't go over well at all. Some of the accomplices had managed to, I guess they couldn't stand the strain of watching their compadre being stomped to death by an elephant, so they, or eaten by lions, either one. So they gave themselves up, told the victim's family that he'd been killed by an elephant on Tuesday. And then the relatives notified the park ranger. They couldn't find, they struggled to find anything, but they eventually did find a human skull and a pair of trousers. So there you have it. Managing executive of the park extended his condolences to the family. I am so sorry that your buddy was eaten by lions. It's going to be a lion turd later tonight, but he said entering Kruger National Park illegally and on foot is not wise. It holds many dangers, and this incident is evidence of that. On Saturday, Hong Kong Airport authorities seized the biggest haul of rhino horn in 5 years, estimated at $2.1 million. So that's good. That's one rhino poacher. Won't be doing that again. Arizona do I want to start this already? No, I don't want to start this yet. It's not very long, but I'm just looking for a reason to take a break here. So we'll move all this stuff around over here a little bit. And let's put this one up there. I like this one. All right.
I'll be back.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
The faculty meeting ended with instructions to indoctrinate. Describe any who disagree with us as terrorists who utter hate. We'll force the malleable little minds to only embrace our views. The misnomer's calling it education when it's really child abuse. There's special ed and drugs for those who play with a toy gun. We'll call them threats and terrorists, these children having fun. Confused and frightened parents shuffled away with all the rest. They're the authorities and educators. Surely they know best. On a cold February afternoon, they took another child away. And the teacher, the principal, and the cop had all had their say. The politically correct psychiatrist evaluated the little waif. The kangaroo verdict was expulsion to keep the campus safe. It seems all the commotion came down to her talent with a pen. She had drawn a dangerous weapon and then shown it to her friend. It wasn't a gun, God forbid, or a knife, and it wasn't even a bomb. It was an arrow through a Valentine heart that said, "I love you, Mom." This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The man who preached the funeral said it really was a simple way to die. He lay down to rest one afternoon and never opened up his eyes. They hired me and Fred and Joe to dig the grave and carry up some chairs. It took us 7 hours, and I guess we must have drunk a case of beer. I guess I ought to go and watch them put him down, but I don't own a suit. And anyway, when they start talking about the fire in hell, well, I get spooked. So I'll just sit here in my truck and act like I don't know him when they pass. Anyway, when they're all through, I've got to go to work and mow the grass. Well, here they come, and who's that riding in that big old shiny limousine? Look at all that chrome. I do believe that that's the sharpest thing I've seen. That must belong to his great uncle. Someone said he owned a big old farm. When they get parked, I'll mosey down and look it over. That won't do no harm. Well, that must be the widow in the car, and would you take a look at that? That sure is a pretty dress. You know, some women do look good in black. He's not even in the ground, and they say that his truck is up for sale. They say you took it pretty hard, but you can't tell too much behind the veil. Well, listen, ain't that pretty when the bugler plays the military tap? I think that when you're in the war, they always hide and play a song like that. Well, here I am and there they go, and I guess you just call it my bad luck. I hope he rests in peace. The trouble is, the fella owes me $40.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we touch. And we're back. And Glock, I'm Glock. Doc Glock. No, that's me. No. I'm gonna have to at least a little bit disagree with you on this holster thing. I don't think that Glocks are any more, or any of the XDs or any of the rest of them, are any more subject to negligent discharges because of the trigger guard exposed. Number one, there are almost no holsters available on the market today with exposed trigger guards. Almost none. You know, maybe... Well, not even, I've got a newer Yaki holster, and I don't know of anybody that currently manufactures one with a trigger guard exposed, but there may be some that I don't know about. But if you look at the number of people that have shot themselves in the leg and stuff due to holstering and reholstering, I mean reholstering and drawing, that the overwhelming number of those are 1911s and 6. If for people that don't, that forget to put their safety on, take the safety off, put their finger on the trigger as they're coming out of the holster, the double actions that they either don't have a safety or doesn't put the safety on the double action onlys, there's more of those than there are Glocks, and I'd have to say that Front Sight probably has the largest number of. Not only the largest number of shooters and statistics to go by, you know, the largest number of accidents out there in existence. So that's a pretty good representation of it. I understand your point, though, completely, and I do cover that in my classes every time. I, if you'll remember, and I know Doc knows this, I don't know how many of the rest of you do, and A.M. Glock will know it. We've talked about him before, is Tom Three Persons, who was one of the early and one of the probably the best-known designers of holsters without trigger guards back in the day, or one of the first ones. And I actually have one old Hunter holster. It's very old. It's not currently made, but that has that, and I use that for demonstrations in the classes and stuff. But I understand your point completely, though. Oh. So what was I fixing to do? Oh, here in Arizona, we are about to be, I never thought about this before. I just kind of always took it for granted. We were about to be the first state ever to recognize out-of-state occupational licenses. That means if you are, you know, an electrician, carpenter, plumber, lawyer, you know, whatever it is that you have to have a license for, you can now come to Arizona and go to work right now without having to wait to get your, you know, your testing and all this, you know, your certification and all this stuff. And that's a pretty damn significant thing. And as much as I do not like Governor Doug Ducey, this is, as of 3 days ago, this is probably one of the best pieces of legislation that he's ever signed. So this, like this, like I said, this means that these people that have, you know, professional or need professional licenses, can go to work immediately and worry about their license as they are able to. And it doesn't say in here, you know, if they have a period of time that they have to get their state license or when they wait until the other one expires or what, but whatever. Let's see, Arizona Board of Constitutional Investment for Prevention. The bill's passage is a culmination of a fight between reformers and Arizona's licensing boards. All about the money. Ducey used his State of the State address in 2017 to call licensing boards a group of special interest bullies. Hooray for Governor Ducey. He saved his sharpest barbs for the Arizona State Board of Cosmetology, which has investigated students for giving free haircuts to the homeless and defended a rule requiring 1,000 hours of training before somebody letting somebody blow dry hair for money. Now that's retarded right there. The board is going after people who simply want to make a living blow drying hair, no scissors involved. The bill that passed this week won't stop Arizona's boards from setting ridiculous requirements for would-be license holders, but it will create some substantial incentives for the boards to behave differently. By allowing licenses issued in other states to be valid in Arizona, the state's homegrown regulators will now have a reason to match their requirements to what other states do. This is also a model for other states to follow. Hear, hear. Most licenses aren't transferable between states, and research in recent years has shown a link between growing levels of occupational licensing. More than a third of all jobs in the United States are now subject to some form of licensing, up from just 1 in 10 in 1970. So, little, that's about half the story, but that's the most important part there. Yeah, Yakima Glock, I so agree with you there. The come on, Doc. Yeah, you can come to Arizona. Doc wants to come to Arizona to practice his New Orleans voodoo high priest stuff here. Outstanding. We could probably use some of that around here. We don't have too much voodoo going on around this part of the country. Got a lot of hanky-panky going on, no voodoo that I know of. Okay. Let me get, I've got so many stories in so many different places here. I should have been. This one is awesome. I love this story. Love this story. Harry Reid. Everybody knows who Harry Reid is. You remember when we talked about this on the show the day after it happened, when he had his accident with the exercise machine back 4 or 5 years ago? Here it's, 2015. Well, he has he's lost his civil lawsuit over his injury here. Now, you would think that a man that has this kind of money, and you know that he has millions and millions and millions of dollars, he has not a care in the world as far as finances go. So he fell off this exercise machine and is trying to sue. So the injuries included blindness in one eye, and there was something else here. Anyway, he says the lawsuit says these injuries have forced him to retire early. He's 79 years old. And no telling how many millions of dollars retiring early. He's been serving in the Senate in Nevada for 30-some years. And he's retiring early. Yeah, Doc, I know you're kidding. I really do. Eight-member jury's decision followed 8 days of 8 days it took them to figure this out. They should have just called me. It would have been over in 10 minutes. He never did prove that the device, in the first place, he never claimed that the device that he was using was made by this company. His son got rid of the device right after he got hurt. He threw it away. Took it to the landfill or whatever you do with renegade, you know, rogue exercise machines. And he testified that it slipped from his grasp, causing him to fall, resulting in injuries. Well, during the trial, an attorney for the company that made the machine that he was blaming, which he could never prove because it was gone, but an attorney for that company said that Harry Reid was to blame for his own injuries simply because he misused it. Well, that's kind of like he said, she said. But the lawyer has some logs from the office of the attending physician that point out that the congressional exercise advisors tried for months to teach him how to improve his technique while using the resistance bands, but to no avail. They just could, he's just not teachable, I guess. So he got hurt, bruising on his face, wore a bandage over his right eye. 2 months after his injury, he decided not to run for re-election. There you have it. The lawsuit had named three companies as defendants: Hygienic Intangible Property Holding Company, the Hygienic Corporation and Performance Health LLC. Let's see, Hygienic Property Company. Oh, and the Hygienic Corporation and Performance Health LLC. He claimed to have incurred more than $238,000 in medical costs because of his injuries. You know, he probably carries more than that around in his wallet. So what? Dingbat. All right, let me see where I'm at here. Speaking of, we weren't speaking of it, but I'm going to in a minute. I found my other story. And this is not, you know, it's not funny. It's kind of a gene pool cleansing thing, but it just floors me that somebody can walk up to the edge of the Grand Canyon and fall off. I mean, most people, I've been to the Grand Canyon several times. I've been to other places, you know, where there's high rock cliffs and top of buildings and whatnot. And it's a natural thing for 99.999999% of the people to kind of ease up there and peek over the edge. But this guy just, I don't know what he was doing, but he fell off in the Grand Canyon. Third death at the canyon since early last week. This was dated April 7th, so we got the story day before yesterday. Notified that a man had fallen over the edge east of the Yavapai Geology Museum. They found the body 400 feet below the rim. Hell, he could have been able to learn how to fly in that length of time. Let's see. There was this marks the third person to die in the Grand Canyon in the past 2 weeks. March 26th, the body was identified as a possible foreign visitor. It was found in a wooded area south of the Grand Canyon village away from the rim, so he didn't fall. Cause of death being investigated. 2 days later, 50-year-old tourist from Hong Kong fell into the canyon trying to take photos at Grand Canyon West. Fall happened at Eagle Point. Fly like an eagle. Didn't work. This was close to the Skywalk. If you look at the sky, look up Skywalk, Google that, check it out. It's a pretty neat deal. And it's on the reservation. The Indians control it completely, and they had it shut down here a while. Big controversy about it here a while back. But this Skywalk is a sidewalk thing that goes out over the canyon. You walk out on this. Doesn't it have a glass floor, Amy? Yeah, it has a glass floor, or plexiglass, or whatever it is. So that has people freaked out quite a bit too. But if you want to have some fun, learn some interesting facts, just Google Grand Canyon. Period. Just the canyon. Look at the people that found it. The procedure that they went through to, exploring this thing and making it a national park and all that's a neat story. It's extremely interesting. And there's just tons of information about the Grand Canyon out there. So if you get a chance, you can run out of anything else to do, check it out. So what's happening here this weekend is me and a few compadres are, there just happened to be in that particular area a considerable amount of gravity, and that was didn't work, I guess. You look at the chat room here. Yeah, Granny, you and Amy probably think about the same. On the Skywalk, yeah. Granny says, no. Amy says, sick mind's going to think up something like that. Yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool. Anyway, this weekend, friends of mine, we are going on a 20-mile hike. And the purpose for this is to see, just to get some information about just to settle curiosity more than anything else. I've been on not counting in the military. We don't have a 20-mile force march down Paragon Trail in the basic training. But, but I want to find out how much ground a person in my condition, just find out what I can cover in 8 hours. It's not to see, I guess I want to do it as I'm not trying to set a record. I'm not going to run any of it. I'm not trying to see, make the most that I possibly can in 8 hours. I want to see what during normal walking, what I can cover in 8 hours. And there'll be some other people and I'm not waiting for anybody. I don't expect anybody to wait for me. We're going to kind of get some information on what different age groups and weights, different physical conditions, what individuals can do, what a group can do, and we just want to kind of store that away in our logs here and just see, just out of curiosity's sake, just for information's sake, what can be done in that length of time. So this time we're going down, be down on roads, and we're going to do it again, although we're not going 20 miles the next time because it's hard to do. Next time we'll be cross country. So we're just looking at a cross section of information, a cross section of different individuals, you know, what we can do under those circumstances. The one that goes cross country will be added with Doc. I'm thinking I may not get much farther than that myself, but I'm gonna push it and see if I can make a couple hundred yards anyway. But what, Tebow? Just proved Amy's point about what? I don't know what you're talking about. Amy, do you have a point? What is it? She don't even know what her point is, so what are you talking about? You'll have to explain. But I'm taking survival tabs. I'm not taking any food. I'm going to take the backpack that I'm wearing is probably going to be 15 pounds, probably. They have water, blowout kit, and then a little first aid stuff. And stand by just a second here. 15, I doubt if it weighs 20 pounds. It might, but bounce over here again. All right, Tebow, and we're waiting. Let's see what Amy's point was. But taking a 3-liter thing of water, we do have an ambulance on standby. Not a real ambulance, but we've got a senior that can't walk with us is pleased to bring his pickup outfitted with not only with a nurse, but with some first aid stuff and everything for some of the guys. You know, same thing happens, so we're covered in that regard. And at the end of this, we'll have a food waiting. We'll have a kind of a get-together picnic, barbecue. I don't know how many people are going to be able to still stand up and eat. We may have to have people feed us while we're laying on the lawn. I don't know what's going to happen there. But the NM Glock, that's one of my favorite things to do right there. I love Golden Corral. Yeah, I get some mileage in when I go to Golden Corral. I walk from one end of that buffet to the other more than once. Okay, let me see where I'm at here. There. I'm wearing a. I downloaded this app on my phone. That's a pedometer. It's pretty cool. It doesn't just tell you can. You can put in. You can do it a couple of different ways. You can put in your height and weight, and it estimates what your stride will be. If you're walking slower or you're walking faster, you normally do. Mine is usually my stride typically is 2 inches longer than what they had estimated on here. You can adjust that to whatever you want it to be or whatever you need it to be to make it right. And it tells you for your weight and height, it tells you how many calories you need to burn, what your time of walking is. It's what do they call it? Kcal. I'm not sure. It has something to do with calories anyway. It has how many steps that you've taken, how many miles that is. You can set that on miles or kilometers. And then the walking time, the actual time that you were walking. So it's kind of a neat deal. It's pretty accurate. You can set the sensitivity of it if you do certain activities that may trigger a step. This is not a GPS type thing. This works off of a sensor inside the phone. You can bounce it around pretty good and it doesn't register any, false information, any false steps. So it's pretty darn accurate. Yes, Copper, of course, we'll be taking radios. Actually, I told everybody that is a must. I said, if you're going with me, period, bring a radio. That absolutely. So we'll not only get, you know, the walking out of it and learn that stuff, we'll get a little bit of opportunity to do some communications testing and stuff. And then the one going cross country, this is going to be kind of a an exercise for land navigation, do some compass work and stuff. And it's just fun stuff that doesn't really amount to anything. It's just fun to do. So that's what's going on in Casa de Cope this weekend. Amy and some of the other girls are going to be waiting for us with open arms and bandages and lazy boys and whatnot as soon as we get there, if we get there. But like I said, anybody that falls out, we've got transportation waiting. So ought to be fun anyway. Okay, well, speaking of fun, I have had all of it I can stand for tonight. So we'll be back Wednesday. And whether or not I am able to have a pre-record Friday or not, I don't know. But there will be a Liberty Lounge, and it will be at the normal time. The app. Thank you, Copper. Dang, I was going to tell you the name of the app. Let me find it here so I can get the exact name of it here. It is called, let me see if there's a, I think it's just called, let me see here, it's pedometer something. It's got a way that you can reset it, you can pause it, you can turn it off, or you can set it for training so that you can you can run it through this training exercise, and that doesn't count on your daily. It keeps an average. It keeps a graph of how far you walked. Let's see. Last Thursday, I walked. Let me see. That's not right. Or is that right? Is that right? No, that's not right. Well, it's good. Oh, here it is. Here, hit this little button that says report. For this month, I've walked 17 miles so far. And, what I'm looking for. Well, that's today. Oh, great. I got this stupid little video playing here. Okay, come on, the stupid little video. Go away. Thank you. Well, on Thursday, I walked 11,409 steps. And it doesn't say. I guess I just have to multiply that. There's got to be a deal. Anyway, it's called pedometer. And I'm going to see if I can find the, before I leave, I've still got a couple of minutes here. See if I can find the, there's several things called pedometer here. So let me see if I can find the right one. There's lots of them on there. You can experiment and find one that suits you. But this one suits me pretty good. Hang on, stay with me. There you go, pedometer. All it says is pedometer. There's an easy pedometer. There's a step tracker. There's a step counter. There's another one just called pedometer, period. This one has, if you want to try this one, it's called pedometer step counter free. It is, the designer is called Simple Design Limited. And the icon is a square blue icon with one a tennis shoe with the heel lifted up. Toe is pointing to the right, and there's a leg drawn in the tennis shoe. So I use those specifics because there's two other ones here with tennis shoes in them, three other ones. You know what? There's one just like it, called Step Tracker, with a tennis shoe, toe pointing to the right, and a leg in it. That's not it. Pedometer, step counter free. Step counter free and calorie burner. There you go. Simple Design Limited. That's the one you're looking for. All right, that's I don't know. Let me look and see if it's Android and or Apple. I've got it on Android, personally. Let's see, developer contact privacy policy. Reviews. There's 5 stars. Looks like there's lots of 5 stars out of 117,344 reviews. The average is 4.7 stars. So that's pretty dang good. It doesn't say whether it's available for Apple also or not. I don't know. It probably says on here somewhere, but I don't know how to find it. But anyway, that's what I'm using. It's pretty neat. Okay, you know what happens when I start babbling, right? It is time to go. So I am out of here. We will see you guys whenever I see you. What's that, Wednesday? All right. Thank you very much.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.